and welcome to season 5, episode 1 of the Facebook series. And today I have a really good friend with me, Derek C. Westbrook of Derek C. Westbrook LLC. And he is a wine enthusiast and he even brought us some wine. And so I am very excited for you guys to know who he is. He is a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to talk about not only the benefits of wine and some negotiation tips, but we're going to talk about how he has just come back from gallivanting throughout Europe.
Yo, first of all, I didn't know that I was the first person on season 5, yo.
Yes.
Oh, I get to lead off the season? Oh, yeah. Y'all going to have some tough competition.
Right.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This feels great to be here. So
you're very welcome.
To get back in the swing of things and, you know, in the midst of this crazy schedule, it's nice to do a little talking. So, yeah.
So introduce us. So what do you do? How do people know you? Yeah. And how do people connect with you?
So there's a lot there. So I'm going to run through it fairly quickly. So my name is Derek C. Westbrook. The way you can find me, I'll give you all of the social media stuff. On social media, Instagram is Derek C. Westbrook. Very difficult, right? The website, same thing, but here's the tricky part. And the Facebook is the same thing, but the tricky part is when you get to Twitter, because it's DC Westbrook _. Crazy, right? But yeah, so that's how you find me on social media. The way that most people know me, first of all, most people knew me in Chicago from Wine Shop, where I basically built the entire wine list and became kind of a label in the Hyde Park, Chicago land area. And then as of tomorrow, as of August 22nd, Wine Enthusiast Magazine released their 40 Under 40. So the top 40 people in the beverage industry under 40, and I made the list. And you know, they done effed up because they put your boy on the cover, too. So,
yes, congratulations.
And the crazy part about it is I was doing some research. Some of my friends were, you know, giving me some grief about it. And we did some research. And apparently, I'm the first black male wine guy on the cover. So, they have other people. So, it's me, Quincy Jones. Who else is it? Dwayne Wade. One more. Oh. One other person, but I don't know if you heard of him, Barack Obama, and then me on the cover of Wine Enthusiast Magazine. So it's us four, and I'm the first like straight up wine person. Like Dwayne Wade has his own wine label, but he's known
for basketball. For other, yeah. Right. That's awesome.
So yeah, so that was cool. And the physical copies actually come out today, Thursday, when this podcast airs. So that. I'm really excited about that. I personally don't believe it's real yet because I haven't held a physical copy yet. Like people sent me like tweets and like Instagram photos of like them with the copies, and I'm like, yeah, I believe it, but you know, since I can touch it, it don't exist. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah. So
where can people pick up a copy for those that are listening?
Yeah. So if you go to, you know, your local Walgreens, if you go to, you know, if you go to, like. My mom's actually going to pick one up now tomorrow in Kroger in Nashville, Tennessee. But Target, all those major chain stores, your local stores, if they carry magazines, you know, you'll see it. So hopefully I'll be, you know what the best part about this is?
What?
Is I'm going to be in the black barbershops and beauty salons. Like, you're going to see me, my magazine cover. and that's what's going to be dope. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited for my parents to see it. So you can pick it up at any place where magazines are sold. So probably one of the largest magazines when it comes to food and beverage. So it's just about everywhere. And in some countries. So if you had a country, you can start probably still pick it up too. So.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm going to definitely pick one up tomorrow. Take my picture on Instagram.
Please do.
Do some Instagram stories. Yeah, tag you. So be on the lookout. I would definitely support. So now that we kind of talked about what you do, like, how did you get started into wine? Is that just you walked in and said, work here? Like, how do people get involved in that? And is that something that you knew when you were going to college, or did you kind of stumble upon it?
Yeah, I stumbled on it. So, you know, I never thought wine was going to be an avenue for me. So I thought it was going to be in a nonprofit sector. Mm-hmm. So actually, as a, like, high school rising junior, I think, or junior in high school, I started working for a local nonprofit called Oasis Center, where they focused on youth wellness, and they did like some therapy, but they also had this arm that focused on education policy change and philanthropy and grant writing. And so I got involved with that, and they were connected with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. So, you know, as a junior in high school, you know, I flew to New York to figure out how to like shoot video to, you know, tell a story. And then my senior year, I got an internship with Oasis Center, where we gave away $30,000 in grants, and you know, we exploded the issues trying to figure out like what is the issue that's hitting youth and how do we address that. So us becoming our own change makers, and you know, that's kind of where I started to find my voice and started to find like, oh, this connects with me in the way I think. And so that was what I was gonna do. Fast forward to college. I was in college. I worked at a small Italian restaurant. Fell in love with the wine list there. They were rebuilding their wine list, actually, which was really dope. And I got to taste some really cool things that I never would have been able to taste otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. This is a good hobby. I can have it in my back pocket. You know what I'm saying? I'll be a really dope dude who knows wine at the age of 22. But
right, good for the ladies.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I was feeling myself a little bit, you know, and the market crashed like 2 years before I graduated. So like I had offers like as a sophomore in college, junior in college, I had offers to you know, in New York and Ohio and Nashville, all over the place. You know, as soon as I came out. But when the market crashed, you know, nonprofit world is probably one of the first places to get hit. Mm-hmm. It got hit really hard. I didn't have, you know, I was like, oh, WTF, you know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? But I still had wine in my back pocket. So I'll try to shorten the story a little bit. So I spent the year, and my ambition got the most of me, and great friendships, where I actually managed a rap group for, like, a cup of coffee for, like, 6 to 9 months in Atlanta.
Okay.
And it was a great experience. And that, like, that's, I think, like, those areas is... You know, when I was working at an Italian restaurant and I met the owner, who's like self-made guy, Italian guy, like he kind of helped to spark that entrepreneur spirit. Like I had little bits and pieces of it growing up, being around entrepreneurs and not knowing about it, like, or not even recognizing it. And then that's when the light bulb went off. I was like, oh, I can do this because I can think for myself and I can create for myself. And when I start seeing business persons or people who are working for us, you know, asking me questions about, you know, process and how to do things, I was like, oh, if they're asking me this, then they're trusting, they think that I can think on the same wavelength as them, and so I can probably do this on my own. It's just finding out the avenue, right? So I moved to Chicago, still trying to get in the nonprofit world, but I worked there. During the process, I worked there for Red Bull, of all places.
Okay, okay.
And so I worked for Red Bull, and then on the side hustle, I worked at in a tasting room, like giving tastings. And so that's where I mm-hmm. learned about like grape varietals and all that stuff. Fast forward, worked at a nice steakhouse, and then I went. And then the moment where it changed for me was when I went to the next restaurant, which is, you know, Michelin level restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tickets are $100. $200 sometimes just to sit down and eat, tasting menus. And that's where it became a craft and it became a skill. So
yeah.
So yeah, it was completely by accident. And so, you know, I slipped, tripped, and fell on the cover of the magazine.
Yeah, I love it. No, I think that the beverage industry has opened so many doors for so many people. I come from the soda with Coca-Cola,
yeah.
And it just is something that once you're in it, you're like, wow, this is lit. So for anybody kind of about where they want to go or need a new change, I definitely suggest the beverage industry. It's something that is not going anywhere. People got to drink.
100%.
And that's that. So now let's talk a little bit more about kind of your business this year. I know that you've been traveling. So if you can tell us a little bit about what you were doing out there. Were you learning, trying to get some information? And then also, what is the most difficult thing you've had to deal with in the last 3 months pertaining to your business?
Wow. Ooh, I mean, how long is the podcast? So the travel piece. So I was in France and Spain. So I spent roughly about two weeks between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit several spots in France. So this is gonna be a little cloth talk. All right,
go
I'm
ahead.
Stunned a little bit.
Go ahead.
So we flew into Paris, and then I spent several days in Champagne. Then went south to Courtaison, where Chateauneuf-du-Pape is, Ventoux, Montpellier, in the Languedoc region. And then I feel like I'm skipping somebody. Oh, I did say Ventoux. And then I went to Montsant and Priorat in Spain. And then finally, you know, flew out of Barcelona. So during that time, it was me just visiting winemakers, and it was fortunate because I've been in the industry, and I've been in there long enough and had great relationships with distributors that I got to go on like private tours and talk with winemakers, and it was right before they go on holiday, and some of them were like just coming back from holiday or just leaving from holiday, and it was a great experience because I got to sit and see and think about wine in the way that a winemaker thinks about it, because you know it's a very different mindset, right? For me, when I'm creating a wine list or creating pairings, you know, I have multiple finished products that I need to marry together. Whereas the winemaker has, you know, the things around them, and they're creating a product to mm-hmm. be finished. And so thinking about that process and that step, and thinking about how I can utilize the way they approach winemaking and say, okay, well, how do I translate this to people back home, right? How do I translate this to novice folk? And then how do I translate that into how I move as mm-hmm. well? So it was like, you know, for 2 weeks, it was like taking a water hose of knowledge and putting it in your mouth and, you know, just trying to drink.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that you need to, like, maybe do a blog post or a list. People want to do this wine tour.
Yeah.
You know?
So the tour is crazy. The list is nice. I did some writing while I was in France. That's why I had some really good friends and some great people around me to tell me to write while I was there. And the best part about it is I did it by myself. So, and not really knowing the language. Like, I can speak, like, bottle French, which is, if it's on the wine label, I can say it. But outside of that, like, speaking the language, I'm trash. And the same with Spanish. So I can kind of, you know what I'm saying, like,
struggle
maneuver.
Through. We all took it in high school.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And when you work in restaurants, you know what I'm saying, like,
There's
a way to pick it up. So I picked up a little bit, but definitely in France, it was a different type of situation. So that traveling alone was really big for me to be able to reflect and think about and just, like, center myself. It was funny, though, but it was, you know, I wasn't relieved when I got back home. I was very tired. Which,
you need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah, man. So yeah. It was a work case. The thing I always tell people is, like, I did work in a very beautiful place. Like, that's what it was.
And that's the beautiful part about entrepreneurship. Like, your lifestyle incorporates work when you're doing things that you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when you hit the peak of it. I think that a lot of times people, if you're working, you think that you need to really unwind and like take a break and vacation. But if you do it correctly, you don't have to take a break from your life.
Yeah, I rock with that for real, 100%.
So, okay, so now tell me, what has been the most difficult thing you've had to deal with in the last 3 months?
So in the last 3 months, this is September?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? So 3 months ago was July, August, September?
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a list?
Go ahead. So be real.
So in July, I was traveling to France.
Okay.
So the anxiety of, you know, it was my first time out of the country. And I've been on wine trips in the States, and I never really taken the time to go out of the country because I was always concerned with, like, I need to hustle and you know, take the next SOM exam, get better at this. Like, I was always spending my downtime, like, working and honing my craft.
So, mm-hmm.
like trips and, like, pleasure really took it back. So, like, this was the first time going out of the country, and I was, you know, that was a thing for me. It's funny, when people around you have been, they're like, oh, yeah, it's easy, don't worry about it. And I'm like, yeah, but I got a little anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And so that was probably, like, the initial. And it wasn't, like, a fear of flying. It was, like, I need to be in this space, and I need to be able to maneuver in this space by myself.
Yeah.
And figure these things out on my own. So that was a really it was a very difficult time, but a really great growth opportunity for me. And then towards the end of my trip, you know, I had some things changed in my personal life that affected me. But like going from that and hitting the ground running while I'm trying to, you know, figure out next steps. And all the while, I had this secret of Wine Enthusiast magazine that I couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
So I'm holding this thing in that I can't share. And the only people I'm sharing it with is like my manager. And like I'm trying to find a publicist at the time, and then thinking about like, you know, what is going to be my life, what is my life going to look like after this happens, and what are the next business moves that I want to make, and these opportunities arising even before anyone knows. So managing that was really difficult, and that really hasn't ended. Like, there was some relief when I got to tell everybody, but now it's the expectations, like, oh, now you're 40 under 40. Now you're not even Derek anymore to some extent.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But the exposure is going to be so crazy. Yes. I'm so excited for you. I feel like this is your Cardi B year.
I'm trying to. So, and the other thing, too, is what I realized, and the thing that I realized in that process is you find out who you are. You find out the type of person you are. You find out, like, what are the ugliest parts of yourself and what are the most beautiful parts of yourself.
Oh, so tell us. What's the ugliest part of yourself? And most beautiful. Let's be fair.
What is the most ugliest part of myself? I brought wine and I haven't drank enough, so I don't know. I'll give you a little piece. I think the ugliest part of myself is that historically I've been bad at maintaining relationships.
And, okay.
Like, of all sorts, right? So I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, even though like those things, you know, those things have to. For me as an entrepreneur, I haven't found perfect balance in that, and I haven't, like, I've always placed more emphasis on the ambition of entrepreneurship, which works for me right now, and maybe it doesn't work for me in the future, but it, you know, it got me here, and so, like, there's some evaluation to that, but, like, I realized how bad I was at maintaining relationships, everything from, like, friends to parents and things of that nature, just not being able to be as present as I like, because I was so focused on like what was next, right? And I started to take stock of this, and I was like, well, like, has it been worth it, right? Like, is this magazine cover really worth, like I miss birthdays for real, like,
losing a relationship or people are really upset.
Well, yeah, and then I will say, like, I think when it comes to like friends and family, it hasn't been really difficult, because like my long term friends, they understood who I was. Like, they love me for who I am. But I think, like, the more the relationships with my partners has been stressed a bit. And, you know, that's...
Yeah.
It's my fault, which is a thing. But, so those are the ugly parts. The beautiful part is that I've been able to take stock of that and change that, and really focus on, like, opening up and like telling the people I love that I love them. I think like the beautiful thing is like I realize that, you know, like, you know, it's okay for black males especially to be able to be vulnerable in that sense to each other. And, you know, tell my homies how I feel about them.
That's
so
awesome.
I think like that's the beautiful part, is like, oh, recognizing I need balancing and saying like I need to give my these roses. Like when the magazine came out, I took stock of the people I wanted to call, and like those phone calls were like thank you phone calls.
Yeah.
And I never imagined that those phone calls would be thank you phone calls. I don't know what kind of phone calls they should be. I never imagined me calling them and saying like thank you for like, because you, like, this is yours as much as it's mine.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most beautiful part.
I love it. I think for me, so I'm gonna, you know, give shares as well. So for me, I feel that this summer plus the end of summer type thing, I've really kind of come into my own, and it's because I had to change a lot of things. During this podcast, I already said that I went from offering like so many different things versus offering a lot less, becoming super niche, increasing your prices. And then figuring out, okay, this is one part. So, like, I'm a writer for blackdoctor.org. I can do 3 articles. That's almost $100 a week that I can get from there. Then, okay, with the website, where we can do some websites. We can sell some online courses. You can figure out how much you need to make from there. That's one part, and just being really, really, really consistent with not only what your strategy is going to be, but I think what your entire week should look like. So I was talking to one of my friends, Dominique, and I didn't go out Labor Day weekend. And I was like, why did it take me 3 days of like literally doing work and watching movies and cleaning and unwinding to finally be where I need to be? I'm cooking weekly. I'm trying new recipes. I can go out. I can be on time with my blogs. I can catch up on my shows, and I can still make enough money that I'm not stressing. I can finally like pay bills and like pay off these credit cards and things like that. And this is the life that I dreamt of for so long, but it just wasn't coming because I would focus so hard, like you said, on like working, or I would miss things. And that's partially why I started my business. For me, my go-to or my why was work-life balance. And then work became so time-consuming. I'm like, something's gotta give. So finally figuring that out and making so like, okay, now I can do this. Now I have enough time to literally go and get my PMP that I've been wanting to do, but I just didn't have time for. After the PMP, I can start buying property. Like now I'm hitting the life that I dreamt of, but I have the time to do it and the funds that it all makes sense. And that just coming into that was so difficult. Like I remember days where I would be like, okay, you're gonna have to learn how to do your natural hair, girl, because you can't afford weave no more. Like you can't afford it. It doesn't make sense for you to have it. Now I'm about to get my weave next Thursday. Like I'm like I'm good to go. But those were the times, and just figuring out what works, and knowing that not every idea is going to work. Please talk to your survey your audience so they can tell you what they want from you versus you thinking. So all of those things kind of happened throughout the year. This was like a year transformation, but coming in through and finally having a strategy. Like Monday, we are doing content. We are writing these blogs and we are sending these newsletters out, because newsletters turn into coins and blogging turns into revenue. So just figuring out what that is. Tuesday, we are working on websites so that you can have the rest of your week to live your life, so that Friday come around you can enjoy. So all of that kind of is what I've learned. So difficult, but I'm glad I made it through. And I am one of the people that I can only talk about when I made it through. If I talk about it while I'm going, I may start crying. So I can't tell anybody anything that I'm going through. It has to be end all be all. So we've made it. It works. Stay in your business, be consistent, and raise your prices.
Hell yeah. Also, I think this might be your Cardi B year. You talk about me. Hey, I see you.
I'm with it. You know what? And I decree and declare. Okay.
Yeah. I think, too, one thing that I realized is that I think it's, too, like, finding your kind of flow, right? Like
yeah.
Figuring that out. And realizing that it doesn't have to be what everybody else's flow is, has been really important for me. Like,
that's true. The non-comparing. It's hard because we all compare. Like, that's just, like, I feel like, our natural sense. But understanding that your journey is yours alone. It's been certain people I had to unfollow because I was envious of their life. And I was like, I want that for myself, but that's not me right now. So you're not a bad person. Let me not start idol worshiping or any of that type of stuff. Let me just unfollow before I get angry that my time ain't came yet.
I hear you.
And that's real. And if you know that, then you can, you know, unfollow or mute or whatever you need to do. And it still be love when you see that person, or you see that they've had another baby or something, and you're happy versus you've been over here fake fighting with yourself. That's so many people. I don't like her. Does she know you don't like her? Or is it by yourself, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Okay, so now I'm going to test your wine enthusiast knowledge. Okay, so we're going to talk about wine. I'm going to give you some questions, uh-oh, some scenarios, and I need you to tell me what kind of wine goes for it, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm real stressed at work. I just got home. What kind of wine and what kind of pairing?
All right, can I flip it on you first?
Go ahead.
All right, so wine is very personal.
Okay.
Right? And the secret is there's no right or wrong answer. Ooh. That's why I got in the business, ooh, right? Because I knew I could never be wrong. I was like, oh, I can always be right. Sign me up. So I'm going to flip it on you. live, I'm going to tell you, or you're going to find out the type of wine you like.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you some wines for you to go try.
Okay.
Cool with that?
Sounds good.
All right. So, we're going to go through the process and then...
Okay.
Whatever. So, tell me, normally, mm-hmm. red or white?
White.
Sweet or dry?
Sweet.
All right. Fruity or earthy?
Fruity.
Okay. So I'll tell you the wines that I think you probably...
Okay.
Like, and you already know that you like.
All right, I'm gonna take some notes.
So tell me, is Moscato too sweet or not sweet enough?
It's perfect.
So Moscato's
especially pink
perfect.
Moscato.
Pink Moscato. Here's an interesting thing, right? You know, pink Moscato is made from red grapes. So rosé made from red grapes.
And I love rosé everything.
There you go. So if you love pink Moscato, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you some styles that you should
okay.
try. So pink Moscato is one.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called Brachetto, Brachetto. There's this one producer called Amaris, A-R-M-A-R-I-S. It's a sweet Tempranillo.
Okay.
I think you'll love that. You'll probably love like sweet Lambruscos. So Lambrusco can be sweet or dry. You'll like late harvest Rieslings.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And for everybody out there too, there's a difference. Riesling can be sweet or dry. It can be bone dry, super duper like acidic tart. You know what I'm saying? Like your face is melting. It's so much acidity. And then it can be like biting into a peach sweet. So those are some styles that you should look into. So
okay.
So yeah. So so for you, the answer would be a little different than someone else.
Right.
So
true.
So I'll give you three for each. Right. So when you get off work, long day. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Long day. I need to be de-stressed.
So if you want to be de-stressed, and you need that, you know what I'm saying, you need to put you to sleep, or you mm-hmm. need a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go. So higher alcohol wines usually do that.
Okay.
The key with is that the higher the alcohol, the lower the sugar content in wine, typically. This is typical
okay.
situation.
Okay.
So for me, I would go French Malbec in that case.
Okay.
Because it's just enough weight, just enough roundness, just calm, chill. It, you know what I mean? It has enough complexity to like take your mind off what you're doing, but it's not so dense stylistically that you know you can't just like enjoy it.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's what I would do for that one.
Okay, so now what if I want to be calm? I want to treat myself to a spa day and I just want to
so we go a couple ways. So there's something called resveratrol that's in wine, right? It's mostly found in red wine, and resveratrol is considered the fountain of youth, right? So if you want, you know, so you can go resveratrol, so any the darker, deeper red wines,
mm-hmm.
or you can go something crisp, bright, and refreshing.
Okay.
So you can go like dry Riesling, so mm-hmm. super crisp, or you can go another grape variety that some may have heard is Gruner Veltliner. It's out of Austria. It's minerally, stony, slaty, right? So I always imagine, you know, spa days like, you know, cucumbers on the eyelids, massages, facials,
mm-hmm.
And I think of like charcoal facials personally,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It pulls everything out, mm-hmm. right? And so I think of like bright, minerally white wines doing the same thing. There's no like scientific proof, it's just how I feel. So
okay.
that's what I would go for.
Okay, cool. So what about I want to be romantic? I want to have a nice candlelit, all that.
So, I'm gonna figure this one out. So, if you want to be romantic, this is my rule is if you want to be romantic, is if you are trying to get you in the mood or you trying to get them in the mood, right?
Okay.
You trying to get them in the mood, you get their favorite.
Got it. True.
If you try to get you in the mood, you get your favorite. But I think romantic, like date night, chill. I like medium to light reds. So one is like Pinot Noirs, and you can get them. You can get a Pinot Noir that's like juicy, fruity. That even if you like really sweet wines, they're
mm-hmm.
not abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get them big and bold. It just depends on where. And another grape varietal that I'm really in love with is called Zweigelt. Z W E I G E L T. It's out of Austria too. I like the wines from Eastern Europe a lot, because the price point is really good, mm-hmm. and like they're interesting. So those are really cool wines to do, because the wines are interesting. They're light. They won't get in the way. They're not too heavy. You know what I mean? And you don't want it too boozy, right? Because you want to be in the moment. You want to be present. So yeah. I like wines where it has enough to get you there, but it's not going, you know what I'm saying? Not going to have you going 100 miles an hour. You
gotcha. So I personally hear all the time that, you know, if you're pregnant, a glass of wine is okay. So what type of wines actually have health benefits, or yeah. do they all?
So It's funny because there's an article that came out that said no alcohol has any health benefits, but I don't know. I think personally for me, the science mm-hmm. that I've seen is usually the best health benefits come from red wine.
And
that's because the skins of grapes. So the flavor and color from wine comes from the skins of the grape. So like if you cut a wine in half, like 95% of all grapes are white on the inside, or the meat is clear, the juice is mm-hmm. clear. And the skins are different colors. So that skin houses antioxidants and resveratrol. So antioxidants help fight free radicals. Resveratrol keeps your skin right. You know what I mean? It's like the vitamin D and E for you. So I think red wines, deep, inky, dark red wines. They don't have to necessarily be dry, but you want thicker skin grapes. And so some thicker skin grapes, usually these are typically dry, but like Cabernet, Petite Sirah is probably like one of the best grape varietals. Garnacha is another grape varietal that I think too. So
now for those of us that are like, okay, all this wine talk, I'm feeling adventurous, let me go out, get my favorite wine, how do I pair them?
Yeah, so I'll give you the hard and fast. It's kind of a three-piece rule. The first two pieces are the things you should focus on. The third one is kind of like the unicorn of wine pairing. Okay. So there's a parallel pairing, and that's where you have a flavor profile. So like fettuccine alfredo, it's rich, mm-hmm. creamy, fatty, right? And then you'll do like a rich, creamy, fatty white wine. So like California Chardonnay is usually really oaky, buttery, and creamy, right? And these are all generalizations, just to make the point. So those two wines taste very similar, so they run along the same path as each other, like a train track, right? So that's one pairing, parallel pairing. And then okay. you have a period pairing or a stop pairing. So if you think about when you get to the stop sign, right, you have to come to a full stop, you know, unless you're in Chicago, then you roll through the bad boys. But you come to a full stop, and then you go forward. And that stop pairing is you'll have, like, that same fettuccine alfredo, and then you do, like, a dry, bright, minerally wine. So, like, Sauvignon Blanc, which, is like, has a lot of acidity. So it cuts through the fat. So then it restarts your palate. So it cleanses your palate altogether. And then the unicorn pairing, which is really hard to do. And that's what we call a perpendicular pairing. That's where the wine is moving along one line, the food is moving along one line, and at the moment where they meet, neither one of them are the same. So like this wine has a certain flavor profile, food has a certain flavor profile, but when you have them together, it's magic.
I love it.
Yeah.
So for people that want to book you for like...
yeah, so if you want to book me, you know, go to the website.
Yes.
Yeah, send an email.
Derek C. Westbrook.
DerekCWestbrook.com. And if you want to hear more things about, you know, hear me talk about wine, beer, spirits, and even, you know, talk about what it's like to look like me and sound like me in the wine industry, we have a podcast coming out called Vine Culture Podcast, which I'm really excited about.
When?
When does it come out? That's a great question. So we're shooting for at the latest, the end of September. Okay. So we have some episodes done. And now, because life has been crazy and me traveling a lot, I haven't been able to sit down and do it. So maybe I should focus on that balance a little more like you did. And
get
just
that
knock
balance
it out.
Unlocked.
I know, right? And the funny thing, right? This is the time where that balance is in the most peril ever. But, you know, it'll happen, I think. So, also, first of all, I told you the best parts of me and the worst parts of me as like within this kind of like change. So you've had this kind of evolution, and what have you found is the best parts and the worst parts of you?
I think the best part of me is that I'm fearless, consistent, and I believe in me. And so that is so important for anything that you're doing. A lot of people think that, you know, they're going to find a mentor or they're waiting for Oprah or someone to discover them. And really, you have to be your best advocate. Like, I've actually, this week alone, I have a template for a proposal. And that's what I send to people when I introduce them. Like, hi, this is who I am. I've already looked at your website. This is what I want to do. Here's my media kit. Like, we bypassing all that intro stuff and going to negotiation. And it's working. Like, when I emailed a chef that I met at an event, and he's in Tel Aviv, Israel for 8 months. And he was like, well, let's talk tomorrow. It be just like that. So, like, having the guts to be like, you know what? This is what I need to do. Like, this is what I'm able to do. This is the price. This is already the program. Like, let's just move forward. Yeah. And that's just really having the balls to do it, number one. So some of the things that I'm bad at. So one of the things that I'm really bad at, it really is relationship-wise. And so I actually hate talking about my relationship life because it's just something that I'm not always good at and I don't have 100% control of. But one of the things that I realized is that my level of vulnerability is probably comparable to a man. And so this summer, I've been really focusing on that. So I kind of was able to have like a practice run with a nice young man this summer. And I was really happy with like the progress that I was doing. So although that was an issue that I knew I had, that I hadn't really dived into, that has been a focus during the summer. So not only did I do like a book club with one of my friends, and we're doing a book called How to Find the Right, Calling in the One. And it definitely is able to touch on, you know, past hurts and just issues that you've had. So that's one of the things that I've been really working on. And so I feel like I'm really ready to be, you know, somebody's wife or whatever and be dealing with all of that. So that is one of the things that I think that I really had to work on personally. Secondly, I want to say that my level of empathy is also not there. It's never happened. My Facebook, Jasmine will tell you, my Facebook be off the chain. People from everywhere wanna debate me. And my Facebook profile is public, so I like encourage it. As long as it's not blatant disrespect, you can really say whatever you want. So that means that a lot of people from a lot of different places have come on me and we've debated about different stuff. And so I will just sit there and debate to the death. Which is great. It makes for good like it. Following. Oh, I got like 800 people following me because I'm not taking no more friend requests. I have I'm like 4,900 and like something. I'm only waiting for Beyonce and them to add me. That's it. Unless Beyonce send me a friend request, you're gonna have to get me through the comments, right? So my empathy is actually not there. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but that's just the level. Like, if I feel really strong, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm not gonna feel your pain.
Yeah, I rock with that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, people be like, well, I was really hurt by, you know, a light-skinned girl back in fifth grade. I understand you, but you're problematic. And let me tell you why. You know? And let me tell you why. You know, I'm like, I accept that, but like, no. So that's kind of where I am, but I kind of like that about me. And now I've been doing like off track. I actually hired my friend Shavana that I went to high school with. And so she's helping me to do like my family tree and like whatever. So we didn't found out that my like second great grandfather then like killed a white man in the honor of his wife and like came from like somewhere down south. I don't know, it was Alabama or like, and came to Cope, Illinois, like Southern Illinois. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this is why I'm spicy. Like, it's just a part of who I am. And so now I don't feel bad at all. It's like, well, listen, I'm not a murderer,
man,
you know?
You gotta live your truth, man.
But
you
it's like,
you
defend her honor. You know? Who knows what he was trying to do? And so she found that he was like, jail records. So how did this Negro, right? Because we back in them times. So how did this Negro get out of jail and come? Who knows? But I'm just, enthralled. Yeah. I'm like, we need more. I'm like, I'm related to Django.
She went Django on you. You know? She said Django.
Like, so when I get the full story, I would definitely have her on the podcast to give me my family tree. But I'm just geeked. I'm like, this is interesting.
Family tree, wow, G.
It's lit. It's lit over here. Wild. We ain't even got to Africa yet. You know?
It's funny you say that, because I think, like, the one thing we don't think about is think about the stories of our family and, like, think about how dope they are. And, like, we don't, you know what I'm saying? Because we've been, for the most part, divorced from my history to some extent.
To some extent. It's important, no, you don't know how lit you are. Like, like we come from land. Like, we was a little, like, I've been bougie, but it's generationally bougie at this point, right? Like, I saw that my great-grandmother, who we had the same birthday, June 4th, but just, you know, 80 years apart, she took some classes at what is now Southern Illinois, but it was like, you know, the teacher's college. So I'm like, that's lit. Then I find out that my grandmother's sister, so my great-aunt, was the first black woman or black person, period, to graduate from Loyola University in nursing. So I'm like, we lit.
Oh, yeah, y'all out here. We y'all lit. Out these streets.
So I'm like, okay, there's pride in that. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, man.
I didn't know until she died. I'm at her funeral reading her obituary. I'm like,
for real,
we gotta do like some sort of like thing at Loyola.
Yeah, you gotta do some commemorative.
Right.
Like,
where is her foundation? So I'm
she
working.
Need a building, G.
You know?
What a building at, my G.
So we're working together with her, like, grandchildren, like, was to work on something. But they're like, yeah, she never talks about it. I'm like, I don't know what happened, really. This is beyond my time. I'm thinking because she was the only person that got her actual education. Yeah. People may have felt a certain type of way. I don't know, but it needs to be celebrated. It needs to be talked about because we think that, oh, we're the first or whatever. And it's like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even the second. This third generation over here, you know what I mean?
And
that's
deep off in it.
And that's cool to, that's cool. That gives me so much pride. I'm just like, I wish I would have known that when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and white people were asking me why I was lighter than Halle Berry.
You are kind of
you
light,
know,
though.
I'm caramel. But they're like, she has a, or,
wait,
time or my
time
dad.
Time out. There's no videotaping here, huh?
There's no video. I am
I put it like this.
Five
I'm looking.
Brown eyes, smell like the sunrise. Remember that song? That's my song. That's five.
No, I know you like the song. I understand that part, but I'm looking at its logo. And
she's karma. We need a karma. We need to get the her. She's karma.
When the last time you had caramel? I'm just curious.
With my ice cream.
You had caramel ice cream.
Hershey's
so if you whip the vanilla ice cream into the caramel, then yes, I see. Oh, you don't see. I'm practicing empathy.
Me and my mommy argue about this all the time because she's a tiny bit darker. She be like, "Daniel, you are not." I'm like, "Yes, I."
Daniel, listen.
Where am I? Like in between? Like we not Amanda Seals, but we not, you know. We like in between, like a Kerry Washington, Kerry Hilson, those type of people. No?
No.
It's like Kerry in between. Kerry Hilson.
Yeah, but what was the other person you said?
I said we were in between. We not Amanda Seals, we not Kerry Washington. We like an in between. We're in between that.
You know what? If you like it, I love it. Look, live in your truth. I didn't say
I need
live
to go get color matched.
Truth,
I need to go get color matched. Stay tuned for the vlog.
You know
if you guys follow me on YouTube, I'm going to go get color matched because.
Put your hand on the table. Where's your hand?
Right here. Oh my God.
Only if y'all knew this bleach blonde wooden table here.
I'm dying. Okay. So let's get back on track. So how do you go about expanding your brand? Let's talk about strategy. What was your strategy going to it? And did it change? Like, where you at now?
Yeah, so to be straight up with you, like, when it came to, like, brand development and all that stuff, I was trash. 100%. I'm still kind of trash in it. Like, and the reason being is, like, my face has always been my brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, my ability to engage, interact with people and talk to them has always been my brand. And I wasn't, like, on the wave of, like, needing to, like, I wasn't a, like, social media, talk to people, that kind of situation. Like,
okay.
So I didn't care about that, especially growing up in the industry, in the beverage industry, where, like, it's, you know, like, especially doing service, you, like, the idea is there's a term called soigner, and it's called with care. And if you do something with care, right, you don't care about the other things around you. You want to make this seamless. So, like, the idea of when I was working at Michelin restaurants, and, like, when I was a beverage director at a Michelin restaurant, like, you, if you didn't notice the service, if you didn't notice the things around you, then it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because things would just appear out of thin air. So I desired to be a magician in that sense. And I knew I was opinionated, and I knew I had, like, these ideas I wanted to get out. But as far as sharing, though, and telling people, you know, I always thought there's a quote that, not a quote, there's an idea I had in my head. I was like, oh, if you don't have to go chase the world, but if you're dope enough, the world will come find you. And I always believed in that. And so that, like, when I saw people out there, like, I was like, man, they doing the most. Like, you want to be on Instagram, you want to be on Twitter, you want to be on Facebook, you want to get a YouTube channel, man. You know what I'm saying? You out there, you thirsty. And then I realized it's like, yeah, but people want to see that thing. And so kicking and screaming, I've, you know, started to develop more content in that way. But I think initially my brand has been that kind of warmth of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always say, if you get me in a room, I can close, right? Like,
yeah.
You can put me in the room. And what I realize is the internet has now become a bigger room. So I just need to, so I need to use that. I need to, you know, brand myself as Derek C. Westbrook. Like, the biggest struggle I had was what to call my business, right?
Mm.
And I was like, oh, Vine Culture, or the Wine Man. I was like, yeah, but people, they love the work that I do because they love me.
Yeah.
So why, like, hide behind something else?
I was like,
oh, you know, like, Nike, like, you don't know who that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Nike isn't one person, or Adidas isn't one person. Like, you know, especially American Gangster effed me up too, because, you know, it's like, it's a brand name. As long as they can't see me, it's a brand name. So out of that, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I need to be behind. But I realized that, like, people are interested in my story and they're interested in me. So having a really dope manager and a publicist, which feels weird to say even now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you get on the cover of a magazine and you kind of need those type things.
Yeah.
Coupled with my ambition, I was like, oh, let's, I've focused on defining what I like, what feels comfortable with me. Like, the one thing I realized is that in branding myself, you know, it has to be super authentic. And, like, that's a buzzword people throw around, and it's kind of corny. And I get annoyed when people say, you know, authenticity, or, you know, saying the real or all that stuff. But it is about just being comfortable as who you are and being comfortable with your personal flaws, because people can identify with those.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was my way of not answering the question.
It's okay. No, that's true. Like, figuring out who you are and what's your voice. I think a lot of people struggle with that, especially when you're going from, like, I'm using social media to consume versus I'm creating. That's just something that's really difficult. What do I create? For me, like, I'm like, is my hair done today, or is it acceptable? Do I need to put on makeup? Do I need a full face? Do I need lashes? Like, or can I just go and be real? What is the level that is, like, I'm real versus I'm not my brand standard? So 100%. That's something that I know a lot of women think about, and all I can say is just consistency is key. And if you don't want it to be forever, then just don't put it in your highlights so that it won't stay. But people want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And people enjoy that. I remember 3 weeks ago I was getting my yellow card for Ghana. And I, like, recorded the whole thing because I was just very upset that this is even an issue. Basically, there's a very, very minimal, like, ability to get the yellow fever in any Walgreens or CVS. So you have to go to a specialized place, and they charge $60 minimum to just have a conversation. It's like, I'm not new to this. I travel. I don't need you to tell me what I need. I just need this.
Yeah.
To find out that I already took it, like, 9.5 years ago when I went to Brazil at college, and I had to drive to Champaign to get my yellow card because I lost it, because it's literally a construction piece of paper.
Man, you couldn't, so you couldn't,
I didn't know.
Probably shouldn't say this out loud, but you couldn't know, you know what I'm saying? Figure, no?
No way around it. And she was like, I can give you another one. You can pay.
You said construction
over $100 for this shot.
Wait, tell me this. That piece of paper, right?
Yes.
What does it look like?
Yellow. And it's like a construction paper.
So I'm
yellow.
Saying though.
Yes. So and that's what they made me do. People are like, I love your rant. This is so informative. Plus, you're like, I like the way you sound when you just are angry. I was like, oh, okay, well, if that's what y'all like, I can give more of that. I didn't know that that's what y'all
oh,
like.
Oh, we know.
That y'all just wanted me, like, talking and tell you about yeah. marketing and stuff. But, no, okay, so figuring out how to incorporate that. Even, like, looking, I broke my camera lens. It's not the greatest. So figuring out, like, what's the affordable vlogging camera so that I can bring them on my trip to Ghana, because I know that that's what people want.
Yeah,
that when I went to Nigeria, I brought them along and people loved it. So I'm going to do the same, but figuring out, okay, what does that look like money-wise, and how do I fit this in bringing them on and making sure that I'm showing them enough. So I think that that is important because people like that, and you never know what's going to take you to the next level.
So here's a question I have that I didn't answer when I was in France, and I've been struggling to answer now. It's like, I'm really bad about being, I'm really good at being present, like,
In the moment. But you're not recording footage.
Yeah, it's like, yo, G, like, I just want to be
here. You gotta
record
that footage.
Like, and part of me
people want to come with you,
I know,
right?
But, like, I just want to, like, there's moments.
Just do a recap.
Yeah. Maybe.
Do a recap and do it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And if it's too long for everybody else, and just make it into parts, right? Like, I'm a fan of one thing is going to work for everybody.
That's true.
So if I have a blog on, you know, resources for bloggers, then I'm going to go live on Facebook and talk about the resources for bloggers. I'm going to live on Instagram and talk about the resources for bloggers. Then I'm going to go ahead and share that same thing and make a video and put it on LinkedIn and put it into four parts.
Mm-hmm.
About resources for bloggers. And everything should be leading to either buying your website, you're buying something on your website, signing up to a course, like reading the blog. It should be leading to something.
Right.
Even your blog should have ads already so that people looking at stuff, they can click it. The things that you talk about should be affiliate links. So if they buy it, you get a percentage. Like, nothing should just be free.
Yeah.
Even if it's free, it's not really free. Yeah. It's like, I'm telling you stuff because
it's
I want
path.
You to buy my course.
Right.
Or I want you to bug me. Whatever it is, like, I'm telling you some information so that you can then want to get more. But I'm proving that I am capable of your dollars, right? People are like, how do I know you're not a scam or not? Well, I'm telling you some real stuff that is actually factual.
Yeah.
Now that I've proven my validity, pay me.
I'm giving you a little bit of the weight for free.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? You get a little tasty.
But if you're just nosy and give it, like, I always, like, there's this whole, like, meme going around, like, you know, YouTube couples are making 60K a month off of, like, ads and revenue and things like that. So people are like, well, I just need a man so I can get this YouTube couple on. Because people are nosy. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what y'all fighting about, where y'all going. And, oh, you know, this video is sponsored by XYZ and company blah, blah, blah. And they're getting paid 5K, 2K, plus affiliate links.
My G, I could have made so much money. How many months ago was it?
Being in the moment, don't pay the bills. You got to bring your camera. Be in the moment and bring the camera. And then just when you get home, edit it and do what you need. But you got to bring them with but you can still do a recap. But showing the actual footage will just be that much more interesting. You know how many people want to go to Spain but will never go?
Yeah,
they
I'll
can
rock with that.
Literally live through you. And so for anybody else, like you, anything from like, I got fired from my job. Now I'm trying to get another job. That's a journey. To I had a miscarriage. Now I'm going through IVF. That's a journey. Wow. Like, literally everything is a journey, and people will follow that if you are consistent enough and are open enough to expose. Like, I think that everybody should have a YouTube channel. Everybody should be on social media. But just share what you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different for different people.
Yeah. I ain't comfortable with that. No. I rock with
that's it. Whatever you're comfortable with. Like for me, I probably would never have like a man on any of my social media until we're engaged.
Yeah.
And that's just my rule because I don't.
Why is that your rule? Yeah.
Because I like the rule of we build in secret, in privacy, not secret. Like if you're out, whatever. but we build in privacy. If it don't work, then we can heal in privacy, and then it's over. Like if you don't make it, then you have to have a literal video explaining why you guys broke up. I probably would not be able to make it through like that. All that just sounds horrible to me. So until I know that that's like it, we're good. There's actual ring, like it's happening. There's no need for me to like bring people through, cause people gonna ask. I know I ask. What happened? Oh, the videos, y'all stopped going out more and you started wearing less. Like, I don't want to know what happened. We knew the whole story. Like, you got to tell us. Same thing with people that tell us their whole pregnancy, but don't show the baby. I want to see. Okay, so now let's talk about, okay, so I want to talk about a little bit of a couple of current events, and then we'll get into the Facebook part where I'm teaching. So okay. The first thing that I want to talk about is your thoughts on the Nike campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, people are signing Nike and their Swishers and stuff like that. I think it's very interesting because Nike just signed another deal with like years worth of deal with the NFL. So,
what y'all gonna do? Thing, right? Like, this is how I feel.
Off-topic jerseys or not?
First of all, like it's cool because I know my audience, so I can wild a little bit. especially when it comes to the NFL. So, like, I play football. I got homies who, like, play professional football and stuff. And so, like, I have a fundamental issue with the NFL and sports, like, and football in general. Mm-hmm. But, like, I seen guys who I grew up with or you know, like, play peewee sports with, and it, like, it changed their lives for the better, right? But I have an issue with, like, the whole institution itself.
Right.
I think Nike, I'm like, applause to Nike for a couple reasons. One is like, that was a dope ass move, right? Like it was a dope move with Colin. The other, so like on a marketing standpoint, from a social, like from a completely capitalistic standpoint, like it was a smart play. And you can do that when you're at the top of the mountain too, right? Like,
right, like where we gonna go, Reebok?
Where we gonna go, like.
They don't have
Adidas
jerseys.
Is coming.
Do and, they you make know. Sports bras? You know what I mean? Like, where can you go?
Yeah, and so
if you
like,
can't go to Bella Noche's, where can you go?
So this other thing is like, you can make that play, but it's like, where else you gonna go? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what else you gonna do? So it was like they went out on the limb. But you can do that when you.
Because people are like, I'm going to Converse. It's like Converse owns Nike. Or Nike owns Converse.
Yeah.
Like, where you going?
So, where you
going
to go? Where you going? Right? So, like, you know, the only thing, the other thing I was like, damn, man, what if Puma would have signed? They'd have had Jay, they'd have had.
But the
Cap
thing is, they've been signed the whole time.
Yeah, they've been signed the whole time. So, like, there's not.
People don't look into it. They was like, well, I'm not a fan no more. Like, Lil Daddy been signed since 2011.
He got them checks already. Yeah, you done paid for it already.
And you didn't look into it and see if he was dropped. He was not. I don't think he lost any of his sponsors.
No, he never.
Other people lost his sponsors that were following suit, but he was fine. Yeah. That's why he's been able to continuously give because them checks never stopped. Now he's having his whole line.
And the other thing I was thinking about too. Hey man, they're gonna eat so much off that line, man. I was like, oh, Colin Kaepernick line. The other thing I was thinking about too is like I was thinking about like, okay, my approach to like developing, I guess, my brand and like marketing strategies, like when you live in your truth and you say like, this is me, this is who I am, and this is what I represent, and not be afraid of that, like there's so much value in that. And I think the net gain is greater than the net loss in that. And I think about that, like, with Colin and from a capitalistic standpoint, it's like if you just live in your truth, you know what I'm saying? Like, Charlamagne always says this, you know, I love him and hate him at the same time, but, like, he's right. Like, if you live in your truth, can't nobody do nothing about it. And I think, like, that's... Like, I keep hearing that in the back of my head when
I
see.
I think Nike never drops any of their sponsors, from what I'm hearing. Like, anytime, I think they didn't drop Tiger Woods when he was going. They didn't drop Kobe when he was going through, like, his issue. Like, they don't ever drop. Other people drop. They don't. And also, the difference between Colin and everybody else is he didn't even really do nothing bad. Like, he just did what white people don't want people to do, which is peacefully protest. Yeah.
And the other thing is, like,
they like it when you burn stuff, you know, because then they can have
publicity
that narrative.
Though too, like, it's like you know, they say, you know what I'm saying, all publicity is good publicity. Like, it's publicity, like, we're talking about it now, right?
Everybody's like, it's the top talking of mind.
So you know,
I don't understand the whole burning thing. It's like, before you were burning crosses in your neighbor's yard, now you're burning shoes in your own yard. Man, like, just, you still like burning stuff. I don't know. But at the end of the day, there's more black people than white people worldwide, period. And even in America, like, it's real weird with the census, because you can only pick Hispanic. What if you black Hispanic? Like, do we really know? Then with the Native Americans, like, I have black Native American ancestors. They was definitely Negro. Do we really know how many black people are in America, quote unquote? You know what I mean?
Plus, I got one question to ask you, right? Mm-hmm. So the Nike thing happened. So let's just say Nike happened September 1st. Let's say September 1st did.
Okay.
What do you think we're going to be talking about October 1st? You
Nike?
Think no, not at all. We're not going to care about
something
this.
Something different.
So when you think about it.
I mean, we always
like,
do, because we're a group
caring.
Of like.
We don't
fake care. I think that care. The issue that I love about social media is that we can call out problematic stuff, address it, and then move on. That allows the person that did the problematic stuff to fix themselves and come back better than ever. You know what I mean? But the issue is, we have a lot of problematic things in our society. Now, is a problematic thing worth 6 months of your attention? Not to me.
But I think the shelf life of these problematic things and them being addressed ain't real.
But I mean, what you gonna do? So you not gonna buy, okay, Nike got, let's just say, 50% of the college athletes' contracts and 100% of the NFL. So you not gonna buy your favorite player's jersey?
That's what I'm saying, though.
Like, you are.
No, but what I'm saying is that's the game that you can play, right? And I'm glad that Nike did what they did, but the other thing is, it's like, people don't have the intestinal fortitude to really, like, back up their stances. I think we don't have, like,
well, especially with this, because this is not about disrespecting the flag, because kneeling still shows honor to the flag. And we've already talked to multiple people within the military, if that's what they want to make it about. The issue that he was doing was, he was protesting the flag in response to police brutality and the unfairness treatment of black Americans. So if people have issues with that, that's just because they love the hierarchy of white supremacy and black Americans being at the bottom. That's cool. That's your stilo. However, people arguing that over and over again, it's already been denounced, and it's not disrespectful. Disrespectful is burning the flag.
And the other thing too is, he talked to a Green Beret. He used to sit. And then he talked to a Green Beret, and the Green Beret is like, oh, kneeling is a better thing.
And then he
knew. If a Green Beret is like, yo, you know what, you should kneel.
That's all you need. There's nothing else.
What are we tripping about? What are we talking about? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, and then other people knew for other things. It came out that, what's that other football player that's very Christianly? But he was protesting against abortion, right? So there's that he was out here doing.
Wow.
So people kneeling in protest of a cause is not something that's brand new.
Yeah.
And he was white kneeling. In protesting. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's just not a big issue.
Yeah, I know.
So, the last thing that I want to talk about that was trending this week is the fume.
The funeral of Aretha?
Yes. The fume. What are your thoughts on this 8-hour long, longest funeral of life, 4 outfit change funeral?
So, here's the deal, right?
I loved it, though. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to tell you this. This is only new to people who ain't from the South. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a 6-hour funeral is like, you know, that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? If you go to...
The outfit changes was a bit.
Yeah, I will admit, if you got to change the outfit, chances are it's too long. Like, what
4 times. Well, she had a 4-day visitation where each day was a new outfit. And then at the end, she was down in gold.
She was lit, though, right?
She was lit. Right, there was 130... pink Cadillacs outside the funeral. It was amazing.
Here's the only thing.
I watched the entire thing.
Oh, you wild. Nah, no. No. I'm not in.
My dad took off work. He was like, I'm mourning. We're watching the funeral. Like, it was at my house, it was lit.
Ain't no way. I'm like, first of all, I don't even know where to start with this. Look. Ain't no way I would have been up there sitting in that chair for...
People was falling asleep. Did you see the memes?
I would have been asleep too. What do
you
mean?
You just need to go home.
I'm leaving. I'm dipping.
Just leave.
Two hours max.
It was supposed to end at 2 p.m. That's what the program said. It ended at, I think, 6 our time, which is 7 Detroit.
No way. Y'all ain't getting me. Hey, I'm in there. Look. But paparazzi, get all the pictures.
We don't
you
ever
need,
keep track of the time. That's the issue. Why can't pastor stay on time? You got 3 minutes to give your remarks, family.
No, you don't understand, though. They used to preach. They preaching for the plate. You got to understand, right? If I'm preaching the past plate, then I got to get you in that fervor. And that fervor ain't no three. You know what I'm saying? I got to get you. It's a workup, right? You got to work that joint in. You got to coax them dollars up out them pockets, right? Man, I'm telling you.
I was thoroughly entertained.
I'm telling you, you can catch that show every Sunday below the Mason-Dixon line. Just find a church.
That is true. Sunday Some churches are long. Nothing is ever that long.
I got one word for you. Revival.
But that's a revival. There's breaks and food breaks in between. That was just...
No, that's part. No. One? Yeah, I'm saying revival
right.
is.
You know, I was in Atlanta and I went to Martin Luther King's Church, Ebenezer, and even we didn't do that. Lot.
Yeah, see, now you ain't go to. No, you need to go to a church where it ain't no paved road to the church. It's just the rocks and the gravel
when you pull into it,
and don't let it rain because you gotta. You know, you can't find a spot. Go to one of them churches.
Got it.
Where they got one ceiling fan.
Got it. Got it.
And a crowd of 200 people. Go to that one.
Right. I've been there. Ain't no children's church. Shh. Everybody.
They got Sunday school in what's it called? See, I ain't been long enough. Don't tell my mama. They got Sunday school. Ain't no other rooms for Sunday school.
No.
You know where Sunday school at? Sunday school is in the main building. Tweet me to remind me what the heck is called the... What service is hell? What is it called?
Sanctuary.
There we go. Ooh.
Look. It's
a
sanctuary. Okay.
I'm going to church this Sunday. I'm sorry.
So now we're going to go into the teachable moment. So this moment is going to be about the Facebook series. So within the Facebook series, I definitely want to encourage everyone to have a Facebook fan page. So creating a Facebook fan page is not only free, but if you're going to be working with sponsored posts, it's definitely something that you want to use. So the first thing I want everybody to do is to go ahead and create their page, add their information. And one thing that a lot of people didn't know is that you can connect your site store, so the store that you have on your website, whether that be Shopify, WooCommerce, or anything else, you can actually add that to your items and they will just automatically pop up. Or you can do like I do, and I only want to showcase my online courses, so I've added in my services my online courses. You can do that, or you can actually do an actual product and people can pay for your products online through the Facebook Pay app. So that's something that's really cool. The next thing that I want people to know is that you can actually connect your newsletter to your Facebook. So every time you send out an email campaign, you can automatically post to not only your Facebook fan page, but your personal page. So that's just allowing more people that may not know who you are or know your business, but know who you are to get in contact and to subscribe. So those are a couple of different things that you can do. Now, the last thing that I want to tell you guys about is when you have a Facebook page, you can actually utilize that page for sponsored posts. When you have a sponsored blog post or things like that, you can actually utilize this tool called Handshake, and that allows you to not only tag the brand that you're working with, but it posts a little bit different so that it showcases to everyone that you're a paid sponsor. So that's actually something that I've had to use last month when I did a campaign with Circle K and Pepsi and Flamin' Hots. I had to tag all the brands that I was working with, and that allowed me to not only get paid, but to showcase everybody that this is an advertisement. I got I'm getting paid for this post, and I'm in line with the Federal Trade Regulation, which everybody wants to be in line with. So it's no longer, oh, I think I need one just because. It's something that you're going to need if you want to take your business to the next level. Your Facebook fan page not only legitimizes your business, but it showcases people that are searching for you. It's something that's very easy to find. And right underneath your website is normally your Instagram, your Facebook fan page, or some of your blogs. So for me, I am a fan of, if people are going to search for you, give them what they want up front so that they don't go down a deep dive and find things that you may not want them to find, which could be things from when you said stuff that may have been problematic when you were in high school, photos from you underage drinking in college, or anything else. Like, just give people what they need so that they won't go further. For me, people want to know my education, some of my clients, and my experiences, so I make sure that you can find all of that on the first page of Google. So for anybody that's listening, I definitely would like for everybody to Google their brand, but their name, and see what pops up on the first page of Google and clean it up, because it's better to be on top of that than behind that, just like your credit score. So for everyone listening, I want you guys to not only follow Derek, but leave me a comment below on some of your strategies. What are some of the things that you're working on? And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me at danielle@averageblackgirl.com. And for anybody that's interested in really taking Facebook to the next level, we have a course on how to increase your likes and engagement on Facebook at the Above Average University. And so that link is in the description below. All right, guys, and I will talk to you in the next episode.